This week's episode of the Podfathers is brought to you by our friends at Tommy John's. Tommy John's are some sexy bitches. You know why? Because they make me a sexy little bitch, too. I like wearing Tommy John's because it's underwear that is crafted from a lightweight, breathable fabric that you move with. It never moves against you. I was wearing a certain pair of shorts the other day, Clemmy. These shorts were pulling my nut hair out, dude. Pulling it out.
Yo.
Leg hair. Like, just straight up grabbing it. I had to throw them all away. And it's an expensive brand that I had before. Legit took every single one with that same logo. Not going to give them free ads. Every single one with that same logo. Tossed them in the trash. You don't have to worry about that with Tommy John. It also features a game-changing horizontal quick fly. What's a horizontal quick fly? That's where your dick comes out sideways, folks. It's not going to be straight up and down. It goes over the top like a little peekaboo action. Peekaboo, let's piss. That's the kind of shit you get down with on Tommy John. It's a great, great gift for this Christmas season. Merry Christmas. We're saying it again. We're giving good gifts again. Give the gifts of a life-changing comfort for the holidays to give yourself or somebody else with Tommy John. Go to TommyJohn.com/podfathers for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/podfathers for 20% off, plus a little extra saving with exclusive holiday deals only at TommyJohn.com/podfathers. Go get it. Treat your dick right, folks. Let's
Tommy
go.
John, they won't rip your pubic hairs out.
There we go. New tagline. That one's free.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man that doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
Well, welcome back to another edition of Podfathers. I am Uncle Chaps. I'm joined with by Clem. How are you, Clem?
I'm doing pretty good, Chapsy. Is sickness season up here still? But other than that, we're doing all right. Getting a little cold out. And I didn't want to tell you this before we started.
Okay.
I want to tell you live and in person, get your reaction. Getting my flu shot today. Do you guys do flu shots down there? Is that a thing down in warm Texas?
No, I don't want to be an anti-vaxxer. I think we've talked
about it. Oh, God.
I don't believe in a flu shot. I know that it says, like science says, that if you get a flu shot, you're not going to get the flu. Let me just tell you, my friend, coincidentally, every time I've ever gotten the flu, it's because I got the flu shot. Like, I don't know if it's just, like, didn't kick in time, wasn't given it the appropriate way, which wouldn't surprise me with military medicine. But I think I'm an anti-vaxxer as far as flu shots go.
Learn something. Like I said, every day we learn a little something new about Chaps on Podfathers. We learn that Chaps, in his heart, is actually an anti-vaxxer. So that's more surprising than the Creole people used to live with and the Hollister model and all this kind of shit. Chaps is an anti-vaxxer.
Now, I don't think you're going to get autism if you get the polio vaccine. Like, I'm still against polio. I don't want that rumor getting out of there that Chaps is pro-iron lung. That's not the case.
Did you go to the same, was it always the same doctor that gave you the vaccine?
I don't think I've ever seen the same doctor twice in my entire life.
Okay. Because I was saying, maybe he was just a shitty doctor and he was literally just injecting you with flu, like the real flu, not just the flu vaccine, but like
would not surprise me. Flu. Yeah, would not surprise me. Like, because military doctors, you don't really go see the same one over and over again. They're trying to get it where you do, but like our family sees different doctors. I think McCartney has the same pediatrician. But other than that, like, everybody sees different doctors all the time. It's wild.
Yeah, that's just how it goes. Like, you don't realize that as a kid that it's a little different when you get older. The other thing, too, about the – I don't know if – again, this is like – you probably turn the news off once they start talking about flu vaccines because you don't believe in it.
Right.
But this one only hits 10%, they're saying right now. Only 10% of the strand. It's like a shitty-ass year where they really fucked up. And it only prevents 10% of the flu. Like, is it even worth getting the little boo-boo on your arm?
No.
And like feeling kind of weird for a little bit? So I'm like even kind of debating it. Sienna yesterday had to get her flu shot.
Is she
and
sick
my
today?
Wife took. She is not sick, actually good. She's fine. She's healthy. Okay. My wife took her, and I think, like, I don't know if you have to get them when you're a kid. It's just like, we don't want to deal with her if she has the flu, because you know how it is just when they have a cold, they're fucking, I don't even want to deal with that goddamn kid. But, I have to admit this, and I'm admitting this on the podcast, and as I'm saying this, I'm immediately regretting it right now, but I've already gone too far. This is almost like saying my wife's a geriatric, which I just did again, and I shouldn't have said that either. Mm-hmm. Clem digs his own grave is a new segment we're going to just have to come up with.
It's basically the podcast.
my wife took Sienna to get her flu shot yesterday, and I was said I was going to try to meet her. And I'm not saying I avoided it, but I'm going to say I had to get my blogs done beforehand. And I wouldn't say I dragged my feet, but I didn't get to the appointment, and I could have done stuff to make sure I was at that appointment on time. I'm coming clean with that right now, live on the air. She went, and Sienna cried her face off and the whole thing, and I wasn't there because I didn't want to be there. Have you ever done anything like that before?
Nope, I'm a good husband and father.
God damn it. I need Kevin back on the show so we can, like, really just, like Kevin, like, I bury myself. Kevin lights himself on fire, puts gasoline on himself, then buries himself. You are a motherfucking chaps.
Oh, yeah, but I'm not going to admit on the podcast by the off chance that my wife listens. Come on, dude. Like, seriously, I get myself in enough trouble all the time anyway. Like yesterday, yeah. I thought we were having a low-key dinner. We were just doing, like, some low-key stuff around the house, you know, because my wife worked from home. I work from home. She only works from home, like, once every couple of months. But yesterday was one of those days, so we took and we went and ate lunch together. But it was a late lunch. It was like 3 o'clock. So we're like, fuck it. We're not even going to cook dinner. We'll just have like a snack later on. We'll make the kids macaroni. It'll be easy night. So I'm thinking it's an easy night. She's in here still doing a little work. I'm just chilling, laying on the bed, fucking around on my computer. And she's like, what are you doing? I was like, ah, just fucking around on Twitter. And she was like, oh, well, you could have like started some laundry. You could have like vacuumed. You could have done. I was like, that's not how it works when you work at home. Like, do you do laundry at like your job, whatever you're doing stuff? And she's like, well, you have time around the house. I'm like, I'm not going to use my 10-minute break from writing blogs to do fucking laundry. Like, come on.
I just filled the dishwasher, like, in, like, the little 10-minute window you talked about, and I felt like I had basically, like, cured the flu. I cured the flu in my house. I'm like, my wife's going to be so proud when she gets home, and she's going to think the same thing. Why aren't you doing this more, you fucking dickhead? So it's really a tough thing. The people who work at home, I used to be on the other side of it, like I'm sure you were and everyone else, where you hear the bloggers or anyone who complains who works at home about it. But it really is, like, it sucks. Like, you're always at your office. Even though your office is cool and it's your house, it sucks. I hate working at home.
See, I don't mind working at home, but you do get stir crazy. Like, I eat out. Like you said, you go eat out every day, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I eat out all the time.
Yeah, so I only eat out, like, two or three times a week just to get out of the house because I need to break up the monotony of, like, what I'm seeing, like, constantly. So I just leave to go grab a little bite to eat, come back home, get back on the computer, all that bullshit. Busy week.
It's just like your boy Chuck Pagano says. It's like Groundhog's Day. When you work at home, every day is the same. And like putting on sweatpants and a shirt is like I'm accomplished. So I need to get out of the house or I'm going to start jumping off the roof and all the other crazy shit he said in his spiel. One of my favorite press conferences ever, by the way, Chuck Pagano's press conference this week.
Yeah, it's a busy week in sports, busy week in big time news. We need to pour one out for Eli Manning.
It's rough.
I knew you were gonna be hurt. Let's talk about it. Let's get it out.
You're gonna let me sit on the couch and you're gonna kind of just monitor me and walk me through
Let's
this.
Get it out there.
I was literally, and this is another thing here. Like back into the whole work schedule. I'm at lunch. I get a text alert on my phone saying Eli Manning is going to be benched, and I was supposed to pick up Sienna. And I had to call my pregnant wife, 5 months pregnant. And then say, you got to pick her up. I have to go blog about Eli Manning. And it was just straight up Mr. Crab meme for like 5 hours straight. I didn't even see the crying tweet until like 5 minutes after it was tweeted. And that was the last thing I needed at that point. I was thrown the fuck off. There's only a few athletes. I think a lot of sports fans can relate to this. There's only a few athletes that you truly love when it's all said and done. And Eli, I'm not even getting into all the is he good, bad. Some of the stuff that's been said on Barstool this week
is
ridiculous.
He's a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback of your team. He's won two Super Bowls. That's all you need.
And you add in that he is goofy, so he gets mocked at by everyone else, which then makes me love him even more because he's funny goofy.
You're protective of him.
Yeah. He's like it's like if Sienna, she's a good kid. She's smart. She's beautiful. If number two comes out and he's a little bit of a little doofus, but you know what? He somehow like lucks into like $1 million twice in his life. Like, that's my guy. I got to roll with my guy, you know? So
at that point, Bruno had made like $100 million. Like, you're stoked about it.
Exactly. So it's, it, you know, and now Twitter and GIFs and Vines and everything, it only just rides him even more. And every time, LOL Eli, whenever he throws a pick in the fourth quarter. So it was a really tough day, dude. It was a really tough day. And you, I even appreciate you when I Ben McAdoo. Like, it's nice to know when your boys have your guys back, too. That
yeah,
was
fuck
a nice
Ben McAdoo, that piece of shit.
Fuck Benny with the bad hair. Benny with the good hair was a good man. Benny
no,
with the
see,
bad
I
hair.
I think he's the same bad. Guy. I think he's the same guy. I don't think that you can look at it because you know that Benny with the good hair allowed Benny with the bad hair to take over.
Well, it's – but, again, do you blame Ricky Vaughn in Major League 2 for the Ricky Vaughn in Major League 1? Like, it's the same guy, but it's not the same guy. Fame and fortune, it corrupts even the purest of souls.
I do.
Except for you, Chaps. Chaps, I don't think you would sell out, but I don't know. Like, that fancy boy video, I could see you actually wearing a tuxedo every day if you hit the jackpot. If you, you know, cashed in some Bitcoins, got some Barstool equity, and when we own the moon. I see you looking up in the sky right now. You're looking into this. You're like, I could see myself becoming a billionaire.
Oh, if I got a lot of money, I would be fancy as hell.
Would you return my tax?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. Definitely would.
All right.
I wouldn't turn my back on my friends at all. If I got like a ton of money, I would, however, change my lifestyle. I would live in a fancy house. I would basically be, if I got a whole shit ton of money, I'd basically be Eddie Murphy from Coming to America. Like,
yo,
I would just be hanging out with like fancy coats on, having rose petals dropped on my feet. It'd be wonderful.
I live that boot. Like, I always compare it to Big, Tom Hanks and Big.
Yeah.
Like, that's the reason I have an arcade game right here. And it's because of, like, that was the first thing I wanted. And all I could think of for, like, the last 10 years was, I want the Coming to America hot tub. Like, I've always looked into, like, how could I put a hot tub in my living room? And I raised that point to my wife because I think you could probably get one on Costco for a price comparable to, like, a couch, right?
Oh, you like, can get a – oh, point? Buddy. Yeah, I've looked into it too, my friend. You can get a hot tub for under $600.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Danahy, Steve.
You have a nice deck out there. Imagine if you will.
Set the scene.
Going out there. Your lovely wife has put the children to bed. She's already got baby number two out. Baby Bruno is sleeping his little ass off upstairs. He's fine. Sienna's fine. She's not asleep yet, but she has an iPad. It's keeping her company. You tell your wife, it's mid-October. You tell your wife to go put on something a little more comfortable. She knows what that means. It means absolutely nothing. So she comes downstairs, goes out to the hot tub. You two pull in. Sienna comes outstairs. She's like, Dad, I think I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. She's 5 and a half at this point. You look at her and you say, Sienna, before you go, grab Daddy another beer. She says, sure thing, Pops. You worked hard. You put out those blogs. You're putting food on the table. I'm going to get a beer in your hand. She goes, grabs you an ice cold beer. You pop it open. You look over at your wife, and she says, damn, Clem, I love you so much. Come here and give me some of that man meat. And you guys make love right in the hot tub.
And now I have another fucking kid on the way. Yeah. That's the most terrifying story
but
ever.
Before,
I don't want hot tub
but before you do, the only thing that you say is, Alexa, play some Bruno Mars.
That
it happens.
It's fucking sheets. It's curtains. Oh, God damn it. She might get pregnant just listening to the podcast right now. She might have twins. We're going to pop out another
little
one.
Irish
God
pregnancy.
Damn it, Chapsy.
A little Irish pregnancy. All right. I don't want to take any more time away from Eli because Eli, one of the saddest things, I'm not a Giants fan. I don't care about the Giants. I care about you, but I don't care about the Giants. Eli's lip quiver, the pre-cry lip quiver, is about as bad as it gets for a dude. It's about as emotional as you can possibly be. I think the pre-cry lip quiver is probably more emotional than the full-out cry itself.
Yeah, it's – you know what I compare it to? It's to guys as how sexy a lip bite is for a woman. It's better than like a full blown, you know, like crazy, sexy, I don't know, facial expression. That little lip bite is so subtle and it gets you every time. And I think if a girl sees a man with that lip quiver, that's like in touch with his feelings. He doesn't care about who's looking at him. He's in touch with, he's one with the earth. He's one with the sky, the universe, if you may. And Eli, even at your boy Coughlin's up when he left the last year after his press conference, after he quote unquote retired or whatever, Like, that's just a dude that just loves people. And I love him because he loves people. Is it still wrong to love people for loving people?
No, Eli is adorable. Like, him being emotional makes me like him. Like, I want to root for Eli because he cares. That's what you want to see from your athletes. You want athletes who care. We say it all the time. That's why I like Jalen Ramsey so much, because Jalen Ramsey, like, yep, legit cares if the team wins or loses. He showed it last year when they were getting their asses kicked by everybody. He wasn't used to losing. He won state championships. He won national championship at Florida State. Now he was on the Jaguars, and they stunk. He was crying on the sideline because he was so invested in the team that he wanted to win. Eli's so invested in the franchise over the last, what, 14, 15 years that he's been in New York that he cried. So that made us think, looking back to our childhoods, what were some things that you for sure would have cried about either as an adult or as a child?
Well, so I've cried about sports once, and it was when the 97 Knicks lost to the Miami Heat. And as I was starting to cry, I said, this is probably not a good idea, but I had to let it out. Tim Hardaway was such a motherfucker. Riley is pure evil. He's evil personified. You know,
same
another
haircut,
coach with slick back hair.
Same haircut.
Exactly.
Evil.
Exactly.
Except evil.
When you embrace your evilness, that's when you become great. You're a supervillain.
But Ben McAdoo's fake evil.
He's fake evil.
Pat Riley, Showtime Lakers, the Heat, he earned it because he is like, I don't give a shit. We're just going to win, like old mobster mentality. Ben McAdoo doesn't rate that. Ben McAdoo belongs in Wisconsin making fucking cheese. He just happened to fall into a head coaching job.
You get to coach Aaron Rodgers, you get a head coaching job sooner or later. That's kind of just how the rules go, I imagine. That's how it works in the NFL. So,
but he doesn't rate the haircut. He doesn't deserve it.
No, no, no. Look at this. Shaved. I'm completely shaved. I don't even give myself the option to have that issue ever come up. If this hair ever grows and then it slicks back, you know I've sold out. You know I've gone the wrong way. And I like to think I'm the same as you, Chaps. I wouldn't change how I would act. But I don't know. It's corrupt. Ben McAdoo, his soul seemed as pure as the newly fallen snow, fresh fallen snow. But you know what? He's gone now. So I don't know. My thing was, so when it comes to sports, the only thing that's ever made me cry was the 97 Knicks losing Game 7 to the Miami Heat, especially after Game 6. I thought they were winning without Patrick Ewing, the whole thing. I can't even get into it right now. What about you?
Well, lately I've been crying whenever like I try to figure out meal plans. Like, that's a really complicated thing to do, but I don't do that anymore because I have Blue Apron. Blue Apron is leading meal kit delivery service in the United States, and while many people know what to do, many people don't know what time of meals you can make with Blue Apron. You're not only going to have burgers for dinner, you're making short rib burgers with a hoppy cheddar sauce on a pretzel bun. You're preparing seared steaks in a thyme lime sauce. You're doing all kinds of stuff with mashed potatoes, green beans, and crispy shallots, and all under 45 minutes without the trip to the grocery store. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe service in the country. There's a two-person meal plan. There's a family meal plan. There's a wine plan. 6 bottles of wine from a renowned winemaker is delivered monthly. Featured upcoming specials have all kinds of stuff that's super fancy for you. You're going to love every little minute of it because it's relatable and real. It's delicious. It's lighthearted. Blue Apron is treating the Podfathers listeners to their first dinner, which is a $30 value if you visit blueapron.com/podfathers. So go check out this week's menu. You get $30 off with free shipping at blueapron.com/podfathers. That's Blue Apron. It's a better way to cook. It is a better way to cook. blueapron.com/podfathers. I remember the first time that I realized that most of the dudes in my family were criers. We are criers. Like, we are. Like, I am a crier.
Everybody, huh?
Yeah, dude. My grandfather was a crier. My dad was a crier. I'm a crier. I'm like the LeBron James of crying. Like, I cry my ass off, like, constantly. And I think that's okay. I think it's okay to be a crier. So some of the things that make me cry. I remember when Kelsey was a young buck. It was her first year playing soccer. She was terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible soccer player. Probably the worst on the team. She thought she was the best on the team, but she was god-awful. Didn't score a goal. Barely even put her foot on the ball most of the time. Like, would run by, like, swing it, miss like Charlie Brown style. Completely missed the ball. Well, she finally scored a goal, and the look of elation on her face was so happy that I cried. Like, I wanted to go out on the field. I had the Eli lip quiver going on big time. I was super, super stoked. Also, when my kids were born, cried when both of my kids were born. When Kelsey did, like, her first choir concert and she was singing, got a little solo, cried there. I'm a crier, man. National anthems, if I'm there and people are, like, really, like, paying respects and stuff, I'll tear up for a good national anthem.
I'll tear up when I see other people crying. I don't, I think I'm a very average crier. I don't think my eyes are dry. I don't think they've run wet. I think they're right in the middle. But I have to admit this, and I'm sure there's listeners out there who have had kids feel this, have the same thing happen. I thought I was going to bawl like a baby when my child was born. I didn't even cry at all, not even a little bit. And I also thought it was going to be this moment where it was going to be something that transcended my life, that was going to change the way I feel about the world and the way I look and everything. And honestly, I think I was so fried from a full day of my wife going through the hell she was going through, I didn't do anything. And I'm hoping baby two is different, but I don't know if it's going to be, Chaps, and I'm kind of worried about myself now, if we're being honest.
Well, I don't think you have anything to worry about, my friend. I think that you cry a healthy amount. And the thing is, I don't think you should force yourself to be a crier. I just think that you shouldn't stop yourself from being a crier because you feel like it embarrasses yourself. Like, I feel like that's the way. So we asked our Twitter followers what makes them cry, and we got some pretty good answers. One answer that I liked, my pal Sully, he's a pretty chubby fellow, he said that he cries whenever I look down and see only tits and belly. So that stinks.
I could probably pull the tears pretty easily if I just did that as my way to cry. Oh, wow, Sully.
Yeah. Another one was, there was a listener who said that every time this song comes on, they cry. Here we go.
I said, I want to touch the earth. I want to break it in my hands. I want to grow something wild.
Now, I'm not one to shit on the Dixie Chicks, but I do think it's kind of a weird move to always cry to Dixie Chicks, Cowboys Take Me Away. I don't feel like that song stirs the emotional pot for most people, but if that's where you get off, is listening to a little Dixie Chicks, and it helps you release some of those emotional moments, Cowboy, take it away, my friend.
Yeah, this is the thing, too. If you're smart, you say, I cried to the Dixie Chicks, and you don't say exactly what song, and someone thinks it's a different song, then if they start breaking down, that's where you could get in. So, like, if I told you I cry to a clip on Jimmy Kimmel, that's a very emotional thing. You'd be like, all right. But I can cry every single time when I watch – you ever hear him talk about his Uncle Frank who died?
Yeah.
It makes me cry every single time. And I thought about for my next kid when my child is born, thinking about Uncle Frank dying, and then I'll have the tears. Like, my wife will be like, "Oh, you're showing emotion."
So
now
you're gonna fake the funk about crying.
Yeah,
you
like, I'm gonna
cry now. You can't cry at the second one if you didn't cry with the first one.
That's true. That's favorites, and it's all on wax now.
The second one was a boy, you're gonna look misogynistic if you do that too. So that's problematic.
Problematic as fuck. 2017 is here.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, you better bring, if you're going to do that, you better bring your son a Barbie, too, just to let people know that, that you're not trying to gender
assume preference. Anything.
Yeah. Somebody else said that anything related with kids with cancer causes me to cry because I put myself in those parents' shoes and couldn't possibly fathom what it must be like. I do the same exact thing. Like, I look at these stories, and I think part of the problem of, like, working, not problem, but one of the things that is hardest at Barstool is that we get a lot of people who reach out to us asking us to retweet or talk about GoFundMes. And I always feel super guilty because you can't do all of them, or then, like, our entire timelines will just be nothing but GoFundMe all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, when E60's on, it's the same thing. Like, I'm like, shit, I don't know if I can, like, invest, like, even a segment right now into E60, and that music's playing. It gets you every single time. But it's like, sometimes you need to go through those and just admire and be happy with what you have in life, right?
Yeah.
And I think it definitely has gotten worse as ever since I've had kids. I think there's a switch has been flipped, and it's getting even stronger as she gets older and becoming more and more of a person. Like, I remember watching Stranger Things last year, and this isn't really a spoiler, but Hooper and his daughter, like, I was like, oh, wow, that's it. Like, I watched, like, a flashback of it this season, and I was like, we're about to fucking ball everywhere. So it's definitely, there's definitely something to that.
I also cried when my friend Tex got knocked out at Rough and Rowdy last year. I was kind of worried for him as somebody who's also experienced concussion. I knew it was like his fifth one. He's going to be fighting this year again in the main event against Handsome Hank, and it's going to be electric, my friends. Now, I know what you're thinking. The times are tough, and I don't know if I can afford the $99 for a normal price, but boxing pay-per-view this time, it's going to be hours of content. I don't know if you watched the last one, Clem, but it was like legit 4 hours long. It was like three and a half, four hours long of nothing but great, great content.
I watched it at a wedding of good friends of mine who are both stoolies, so it was approved. And I just listened to that. Like, I would watch and then listen because the music was on. And the commentary was A+. The content, the fighting was A+. And it's only going to get better because we actually know what we're doing now.
It's going to be so good, man. I cannot wait. It's December 15th. It's only $9.99. It's one-tenth of the best the price for the best fights in the world, which I think this is some of the best fights in the world. Because if you're not like a UFC dude who really studies jiu-jitsu, studies MMA, if you're not a woman who really likes boxing, like the sweet, sweet science, you just want to see people get knocked out, see people be goofy and laugh while it all happens. It's basically like the fights between the dumb kids in the middle of the schoolyard, but you can watch it at home and you don't have to worry about getting blood on you. It's the perfect thing to do. Rough and Rowdy, $9.99. Go to Rough and Rowdy. Brawl.com. That's roughandrowdybrawl.com. There's a new category that's a winner for me that makes me cry. A new category. It used to be military members coming home to their dogs was number one for me. Whenever they do it and the dogs would just like start being so happy. There's a new one. Anytime a child or a toddler gets one of those special hearing aids that allows them to hear their parents for the first time, that is unbelievable, man. Those, if you want to cry, those are the ones to go after. That one is a new one. A second close runner-up to that is the glasses that turn colorblind people into being able to see normal vision.
I was just going to say, you should start with the colorblind ones first as like a way to ease yourself into it. Because I think the whole like hearing your mom's voice for the first time or whatever it is. I mean, like I got goosebumps just saying, right?
My God, yeah.
You're starting to well up a little bit. You're closing your eyes.
I might cry, yeah. Yeah. Because whenever they say, hey, it's mama.
Oh, God.
And the babies like have like their teeth, like their three little teeth are the only thing that are showing. And they just look up, and then they adjust it a little bit, and it comes in more clear. And it's like, yeah, it's your mama. And they're trying to be all quiet. And then the babies look around like, wow, what is this new world? What a moment.
Put something else on the list that makes me cry. Mama Chap's voice of the, like, the mama, hey! Yeah. Like, I don't know what that octave is that all humans hit, like parents, when they try to, like, soothe their kid. But that was it. Let me hear it again.
There we go. Yeah. That's so
nice. It's so good.
Well, you know what that comes from? Because it comes from years of being a dog handler. Whenever I would talk to my dogs, that's how it's called a praise voice. That's the voice I would use to dog. Come here, Baba. Yee! And they absolutely love it.
Chaps' praise voice, number one on my cry list. You make me cry at any given moment.
Oh man. Let's move into some bedtime story this time.
I got one more. Okay. I got one more thing that always makes me cry. And tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna raise this first question, and I don't know how it's gonna be received, but it could change. What do you think about Forrest Gump the movie?
I love it. First of all,
okay, because I feel like there is a sector of the internet that now is like Forrest Gump stinks. They're like the Beatles stink people. There's the ketchup stinks people. All these things that a lot of people love. There's people that hate it. It's kind of like the KFC corollary, if you may. The Forrest Gump. I love Forrest Gump as well, and a lot of people will cry when Bubba dies. When Jenny, I'm spoiling this again, like 40-year-old spoilers. Jenny dies, Bubba dies. There's a lot of other parts. Mm-hmm. The part that always gets me is when he asks if Baby Forrest is slow. Yeah. And
you know what? Oh, man.
He's doing the Eli Manning, which again is why I love Eli. Eli and Forrest Gump are definitely like together in my mind because Eli may not technically be slow, but he's been treated as he is slow. And just when he's like, Is she all right? Is she? And oh, it just gets me every time. And I sometimes have to look. Do you ever do this move? If you don't want to cry, you look up at the TV so you're not crying and you're not looking directly at it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I got that. So I just wanted to throw that one out there.
Yeah, I think that that's so true. I think it's just such a beautiful moment when Forrest just cares about his kids. Oh, my God. I don't know how Jenny didn't, like, jump his bones right there. Like, when she's, like, the thing that he's not worried about anything else. He's not worried about the responsibility. He just doesn't want him to be like him. But in deep down in Jenny's heart, she wants him to be like Forrest because that's why she loves Forrest, because he's a carer. And everything that Forrest was concerned about, we saw later that Forrest Jr. had some of those qualities, too. He was concerned about his father. He was concerned about his mother. He was concerned about carrying on a legacy. Wow, those gumps. Those gumps.
Forrest, the first Forrest, the KKK member Forrest, had some strong lineage, it turns out. Yeah. He wasn't a good man, but his seeds were.
They went opposite. They went opposite of Benny with the good hair on that.
Yeah.
They went bad to good. Now, you can't do that. You can change bad to good. Sometimes.
I'm shocked that, like you said, Forrest didn't throw number two in the oven right there. But that also could have been a problem as well, as we turned out we learned about what Jenny had contracted
AIDS.
By that
point.
Yeah. The big four letters took her to her final resting place.
Big
Y'all
A's.
Don't hear me.
Well, let's move into a little bit of bedtime stories. I'll have one. I'll go first. So this week, McCartney's bath is like my thing. Like, I still give her a bath all the time. But she does a lot of it by herself now. So she gets, like, undressed. She goes to the bathroom before. She gets in the tub. She washes her body. Like, she's learning all those things that do, like, self-care. Well, I go in the bathroom because I start the water, make sure it's the right temperature, put some bubbles in there, and then she does everything else from that point. And then I help her wash her hair. Well, I come in the bathroom, like, 5 minutes after she goes in there. And I'm like, good God, Rosie, did you fucking shit? And she's like, yeah, I had to go before I got in, which is a smart decision. That's a business decision on her part to go take a shit before she gets in the tub. So I just keep going. I'm like, it stinks so bad, you nasty little thing. She gets the Eli lip quiver.
Oh.
And she's like, Daddy, you're hurting my feelings. And, like, she didn't say it with rage like she normally did, but it, like, legit hurt her feelings. She's like, please don't tell me my poop stinks. Like, that hurts my feelings. And I felt, like, legit bad. And so I went over and, like, rubbed her head. I'm like, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. She's like, it's okay, Dad. We all make mistakes. And I was like, that's true. We do. That's my little bedtime story. Don't make fun
that's
of your
good.
Kids' stinky shits, because eventually they'll get offended.
Yeah, it's like your shit smells like poop. Maybe a little coddling, but 2017, we're going to coddle a little bit. We can do it. There's nothing wrong with it. This is the time we live in. All right.
And we've got to respect the fact that she voiced her opinion. If she says that she doesn't like that, we tell her that all the time. Like, if somebody's doing something to you that you don't like, you need to voice your opinion.
Same with if Kelsey's like, I don't like McCartney punching me in the head. McCartney, please don't punch her in the head.
Yeah,
you do not approve of
that. In the head. Yep.
mine kind of has to do with some crying too. So we've kind of had this issue where I don't know. I mean, I imagine you probably went through with both your daughters. Sienna will throw the tears on extra quick these days. If it's, she wakes up in the night, she doesn't want to sleep in her room anymore. If she doesn't get what she wants, she's just throwing tears. And it's tough because you can say, all right, we're not going to give in. We're going to just let her just cry it out. But sooner or later, it's like, I can't fucking take this anymore. My ears are bleeding. She's not sleeping. It's like been 2 hours straight of it. And sometimes you just got to kind of coddle them and say, all right, and just give in, right? It's a really... It's a give and a take. It's like a lot of things parenting wise, and it's something that we don't really know how we're gonna figure out. We're just gonna work through it. So, basically, one time she was crying, she was screaming, whatever, and I gave in to her, and I felt like shit. And I was like, all right, I gave her toy or whatever. I love video game, whatever it may be, and she goes, yay! And she ran over to me to give me a hug. And I said, oh, Sienna, of course I'll give you a hug. So I go to give her a hug, wrap my big old dad arms around her. And I go, and this is after like a good 20-minute cry. I go to give her a hug, hands directly on butt cheeks. She had set me up for the old moon over my hammy. She pulled her pants down right before I hugged. So then my hands would go on her butt. She like She got me with it, and then she just laughed at me, and I was like, how am I supposed to stay mad at you? Like, and that, like, throws the whole strategy off, because, like, then I'm happy. It makes me happy. The rest of the day, I'm like, oh, what a great kid. She even has, she's like, that's comedic genius right there to pull that move before she turned three. That was, like, really impressive, I thought.
Yeah, anytime that your kid pulls one over on you, I think you're, like, you're kind of upset because you allowed it to happen, but at the same time, you're like, damn, that was a pretty good one. Like, you got me.
That was a good one.
Yeah. So I asked McCartney the same kind of thing the other day. I was like, do you want a lollipop? And she's like, no. She's like, but I have something to give you. And I was like, what's that? She's like, a middle finger. I was like, and then she gave it to me. I was like,
and then she gave it.
Yeah. I was like, so, fucking owned.
She verbalized middle finger, then gave you said middle finger.
Yeah, wow. She's like, middle finger, boop.
Wow.
Like, damn. Got my ass. All right, well, you had a blog this week to send us out on. It's the DMX newly released high-quality version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Merry Christmas, everybody. It's Christmas season. We're saying it again. We'll see you next week. Here we go.
Beautiful, sir. You know Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall, what's that, the most famous reindeer of all? Come on!